I want to continue now, amen, in 1 Corinthians 13. I want to look at verse 4. I want to start at verse 4. Look what he says. I'm going to do verses 4 and verse 5. It says, love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into a wrong suffered. I want to talk about this morning, nothing without love. A picture of love. A picture of love. Amen. What does it look like? Have you ever seen it? Amen. Would you recognize it? Amen. If it showed up. We all may have an idea of what it should look like. But the truth be told, no one, amen, and possibly not even you, can possibly say you have seen a perfect picture of love. I believe that because we're fallen people, and because we live in a fallen world, love can sometimes be distorted. The question is, how can we define it? Love. Is it a child taking care of their parents when they're old? Thank you, ushers. A husband providing for his family? Is that love? A wife that stays with an unfaithful husband? Amen. Is that how we would define love? Many people stay in abusive relationships because they say, I love that person. Amen. Many marriages end when the provision is over. Amen. Because it wasn't enough. The marriage ends because there's no more money flowing in the house. Many people leave churches because they don't feel what they call love. The question is, do you want to see a picture of what love really is? Paul, as he writes to the Corinthian church, as I told you last week, he's writing to this church and he's saying to them, listen, you have all the gifts. You have everything that you need in order to be a great church. But he told them that the gifts without love is nothing. Last week I told you the gift of proclamation is worthless without love. The gift of prophecy is worthless without love. The gift of knowledge is worthless without love. The gift of faith is worthless without love. The gift of helps, amen, is worthless without love. And lastly, I told you last week that even sacrifice without love is worthless. Can you imagine doing all of this? Giving it your best, as you say, but yet inside of you and I, we possess no love. The question again is, what does it look like? The Corinthian church lacked love. They had all the gifts. They had talents. They had money. They had success. But they lacked the main ingredient, love. Listen to this. They had lawsuits. They had incest. They were impatient. They were angry. They abused the Lord's Supper. And all this happened, amen, while they were assuming that they were doing ministry. Saints, I want to tell you something. It's a dangerous thing. And I said to you last week, when you don't understand what love really is. Many of us, we thrive for it. Many of us are looking for it, and sometimes we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen. The question is, how do you know that you love your spouse? Is it because you put up with them? Amen. The question is, if love was to confront you right now, would you know what it looked like? I believe that for some of us, when we experience love, we reject love. Do I have anybody? My aim today is to paint a picture for you that you can put alongside your life so that you may know exactly what love is. Listen to this. Instead of attempting to define love in this passage, Paul gives us a rich description. What Paul does is he personifies love. And watch this. Because love is never really represented in any of the individuals that he was around in this church. So this photograph of love is given to us in order that we might hold it alongside our lives. Come on, somebody. And see whether the two match. Do I have anybody? But as we look at the picture of love, we must ask ourselves a question. Amen. Do I possess love? Do I have anybody? Paul goes on to talk about, in chapter 12, he talks about that the ministry, the gifts are important. But while saying that, when he got to chapter 13, as I said last week, if you look at verse 1, he says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, he said, if you can preach real good, proclamation. And if you have it all together, but you don't have love, 1 Timothy says that the goal of our instruction is love from a what? From a pure heart, a sincere faith, and a what? A clear conscience. See, if I love you, I'm not going to talk about you. If I love you, I'm not going to mistreat you. If I love you, there's certain things that I'm going to do for you because I can overlook what you have done. And last week I told you, like a parent that overlooked their child's faults, we ought to possess the same kind of love. Are you with me? Now, there is this love that I'm talking about is agape love. Now some of us may think that because you say you love, you're weak. That's not weakness, that's strength. Because when I look at the portrait that he personifies love. He makes love into something that I can really attain. Do I have anybody? I told you I grew up in a home where there wasn't much love. There wasn't any love. And that can taint you for the rest of your life. And somebody here today, I want to tell you something. Maybe you grew up in the same home, or maybe not. But love is not just what you can do for another person. Amen. Love is deeper than that. Do I have anybody? So Paul goes on and he says in verse 4, I'll get right to it. He says, love is patient. And I started to look at that, and I started to think about that word as I looked up the Greek word. It shocked me because I said, man, I've been reading this for all this time. Okay, I'm patient. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about here, he's talking about suffering long. Being able to put up with people for a long time. Do I have anybody? And so the first thing that love doesn't do, first part of this picture of love is love doesn't give up on people. He says love is patient. And this word patient has the idea, watch this, to demonstrate patience despite difficulties. Watch this. It has the idea of patience with people, not circumstance. You heard what it said? Patience with who? With people and not circumstance. And so what Paul is trying to get us to see, it involves us exercising, watch this, understanding. See, before I write you off, I got to understand where you are. I got to understand what you're going through. Somebody here, you're angry on the outside, but guess what? I'm not going to give up on you. You're upset about some things in your life right now, but guess what? I'm patient with you, and we ought to be patient with each other, because sometimes it's hard to talk about the frustrations that we feel in our lives, but oftentimes as believers, we give up on each other. But Paul says the first thing about love, the first part of this picture is because love involves people. Watch this. He says, God is love. Amen. And Jesus asked the question. He said, how did you feed me when I was hungry? How did you do this for me? How did you put clothing on me? How did you come see me in prison? He says, when you did to one of the least of mine, you did it to me. Do I have anybody? He says, love is patient. The word means to suffer long, as opposed to losing faith and giving up. Do I have anybody? See, we all struggle with this. And the Corinthians, watch this, they had no patience with each other. Saints, I want to tell you something. We got to learn this. No matter if I've wronged you, or if I've said something you didn't like, or if you see me going through something, I may have treated you the wrong way, I hope that you don't give up on me. Come on, somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't give up on me. Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me. Don't you give up on me. Listen. Love suffers a long, and the idea is a long, long time, watch this, without resentment and without seeking revenge. It says love is patient. See, oftentimes we're patiently waiting for that person to what? To fall. But he says it's patient. Look what he goes on to say. Next thing, I tell you, 3 points. Watch this. Love is what? Love is kind. Now, you know the etymology for the word nice. You know nice. If somebody calls you nice, they're really calling you foolish. Because the etymology for nice is foolish. But the Bible calls us to be kind. But I find it pretty interesting that love is kind. Love is what? Kind. Listen, when you and I were saved, God gave us a new heart. So we have the capacity now to love. How many of you couldn't love before? But now you can love. Come on, somebody. Some of us were angry. Listen, what you may have called love may have been lust. Or it may have been that father role that you were trying to fill in your life that you never had. I wish I had somebody. And so as a result of that, amen, you thought it was love, but it turned into what? Something else. But it's good to know that people that love you won't give up on you. Love is patient. Look what he says. Love is kind. The next thing is love is good to people. That's the second thing. Not only does love does not give up on people, but love is what? Good to people. That's what that word kind. The word kindness here means that I'm seeking your good over mine. Amen. That, watch this. It means the willingness, watch this, to help and assist someone else. Amen. And you know what I found out? As an unbeliever, I was only thinking about myself. As an unbeliever, I realized that I was looking out for one person and one person only. Were you there? Amen. And some of us, you say, oh, my heart's broken. Because, you know, you fell in love. Amen. It may have been infatuation. Because here's the thing. If someone loves you, they will be what? Kind to you. But watch this. This word kindness, it means being good to people, that you are, watch this, useful to them, and you're not just using them. All right. All right. I wish I had you. It means useful to them, not just using them. There's some people that they just call you when they want something. Come on, somebody. You know about those people. Amen, amen. The only time you hear from them is when they need something from you, and then when they hang up, boy, I love you. Oh, girl, I love you. Amen. You got to be careful for with people like that. But watch this. Love is good to people. Love is good to people. Paul was trying to help this church understand that they needed to help, watch this, those who were weak among them. Not, watch this, not pray on them, but pray for them. Not, watch this, not capitalize on their, watch this, on their vulnerabilities, but they seek their good. You know, some of us are good at seeing vulnerabilities in people's lives. Come on, somebody. Y'all know when we were out there, y'all were out there. Amen. Amen. You were trying to catch you one. You would say anything. Yeah. I wish I had you. You were so kind. I don't think you were kind. You were running game. Amen. Amen. Listen, but watch this. You are helping that person with one thing in mind: to help yourself. I wish I had somebody. So when I say love doesn't give up on people, amen, but love is good to people, amen, I'm saying that you will be able to be useful to that person, to be of assistance to that person. And somebody here this morning, I want to tell you something. Amen. It's okay to help somebody else. It's okay to promote somebody else. It just shows your Christian love. And what was happening in this church is that they were so divided that they were self-seeking. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But watch this. Watch my third point. I'm going to go on now. Now watch this. Paul gives us two positives, and then he gives us seven negatives about love. You ready for this? So watch the third point. The third point is this. He says, love is patient, love is kind, is not jealous. So I want to give you these seven Watch this. These seven negatives. Watch this. But watch this. Love, number three, give my third point, is incompatible with certain people groups. Love is what? Incompatible with certain people groups. Watch the first group. Number one, it says love is not jealous. The first group of people is people who are seeking. Give it to me. Did we put that up there? First thing is people who are what? Seeking self-advancement. That word jealousy has the idea of envy. It means self-advancement. It means rather than looking out for everybody, they're looking out for what? Self. They're trying to promote themselves. Now, see, when you understand this in the context that it's written in, watch this, it means bad feelings against others because of what they have. That's envy. That's what jealousy is. Watch this. Because they have gifts, because they have a position, because they have more friends, because they have recognition, because they have possessions, because they have popularity, and because they have ability. In other words, it means to downplay their ability. You ever had anybody downplay your ability? That's jealousy. And so rather than promote you, they want to hold you back. And that's what was happening in this church. The text says that, so remember, it's incompatible, amen, with a certain group of people. Number one, people who are seeking self-advancement. Listen, you don't have to try to promote yourself. God will promote you. But listen, if somebody's better than you, are you spiritual enough to promote them? Amen. Do you have love where you can seek their good over your own? See, oftentimes that's what happens in churches. People get jealous of each other. And then you have a great fall. Amen. Number two, love does not what? Brag. You know what that word, the I did, carries? I don't need you. To think too highly of yourself. So number two, the second people is people who are full of themselves. Full of themselves. You said, say it again. Amen. Full of themselves. Amen. They feel like they don't need anybody. To think too highly. Let me tell you something. The word helps us to understand. Listen, when I look at this list, amen, I ain't going to put myself out there. But I'm just saying, when I look at this list, amen, we all fall short in this list. Amen. Because I know some people trying to climb the corporate ladder. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to step on everybody else to get there. But when you're full of yourself, you don't see nothing else but you. You don't look out for nobody else. And what a church to be in, where all they're doing is seeking themselves and nobody else. They're not thinking about the community. They're not thinking about the unsaved. They're not thinking about anybody else but themselves. It says love does not brag. Now, I've told you before to brag on God. But when you're bragging, you're not displaying love. You fall into this people group. Watch the next thing. It says, love is not, does not brag. Number two, number three, love is not what? Arrogant. Now, this, number three, this person or people who have an inflated view of themselves. See, when we are arrogant, it means that our thoughts are inflated about it. We think we're more important than everybody else. But he says love. Love does not have an inflated view. Love does not take the air machine and start you know, blowing up balloons and stuff, you know, getting your big head, you know, you get the big head. But this is what was happening. It says love is not arrogant. Watch this. It means seeking attention as a child seeks attention. Amen. It's constantly walking around with this arrogance that I'm better than everybody. Inflated view. See, we are all servant saints. And as a servant, it means that, listen, if God has blessed you, I must help you. If God has promoted you, I promote you. When we display love, we have no arrogance. And an arrogant person, I got a whole new view about an arrogant person now, because it's all about them. But it's not compatible with love. Person say, I love you, but if they're arrogant, they say, no, that ain't love, boo. That's something else. You always in the mirror, you understand what I'm saying? You know, you got this view of yourself that's not real. Amen? Look at verse 5. This is going to help you right here. This is going to help somebody. You ready for this? Now, you can say, ouch, amen, or thank you on the next one. Watch what he says. He says, it does not act what? What that word means? To act ugly. Indecent. Amen. So the next person is what? Not only people who have an inflated view of themselves, but number four, people who are rude. Write it down. People who are what? Rude. Act unbecomingly. To behave ugly. We say we love, but guess what we do? We're rude. Folk don't want to be around us. Amen. We amen on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday, nobody can't be around us because we're rude to everybody. We act ugly. Oh, I wish I had somebody. This is the real deal. Next week I'll give you the rest, but watch this. He says, folk who act rude all the time. If you see this, then it's a sign. Amen. You say, well, I don't want to be ran over, but here's the thing. You don't have to worry about that. God's going to take care of you. He's going to fight your battle. All he asks for is that we have what? We have love. But look what he says. He says, people who are rude. But watch this, verse number five. Let me get number five person. He says, it does not seek its own. Now watch this. To be self-seeking. Watch this. Failure to think about others, other people's needs. Watch this. The Corinthian church, they were so self-seeking, they had lawsuits, they had the me slogan. So the next person, number five, not only is people who are rude, but people who are what? Selfish. They won't share, but they're thinking about themselves all the time. Pay attention to the people in your life right now. Or pay attention to yourself. Are you always seeking your own good over others? Watch this, watch this, watch this. He says, love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Well, watch this one. It says, is not provoked. Now let me give you number six person. People who are easily angered. If you love me, you'll be patient with me. Because God ain't through with me yet. Because God is still working on me. And oftentimes what happens to us believers is that from the moment we see a flaw in someone, we give up on them. How could we do that and we say we love? People leave churches. They talk about pastors. They do all this stuff. And guess what? Guess what? But all the while, Pastor, I love you. How can you love me, but you're not patient? You're rude. You get easily angered. For no reason. He says, watch what he says. He says, the text says, watch it. Text says, is not provoked. Now, we say we have love, but we're easily angered. Just say one word. That's it. You know what the real problem is there? We hold on to resentment. We hold on to offenses. But we say we love. Girl, I love you. But you're always angry at me. Oh, I love you, but I'm not patient with your process. Amen. Or, amen, I have such an inflated view of myself that all I think about is me. There are a lot of marriages that end because of that. Amen. Yeah, amen. It's all about you, but I gotta do this for my wife. I got to do this for my husband. Yeah, I understand that, but where's the love? Watch what he says. It's okay. Listen, I've been here. Watch what he says. He says, it's not provoked. Verse 5. Does not take into an account a wrong suffered. You ready for this last one? People who keep records. We got some good record keepers in here. Oh, I remember what you did last year at 2:35 p.m. Listen, people who keep records, husbands, wives, you got to burn that stuff up. Stop holding on to stuff from the past. You got a long list. You got a whole book. And from the moment something is said, oh, yeah, let me see. Let me see. I got a categories for you. I can go back and say, oh, yeah, yeah, on this day you said this to me. So what? What? You ain't no different. Love is incompatible, saints, with people who are self, who are seeking self-advancement. People who are full of themselves. People who have an inflated view of themselves. People who are what? Rude. People who are what? Selfish. People who are what? Easily angered. And lastly, people who keep records of wrongs. Wrongs. I thought I loved until I read this. The truth be told, them records we're holding on to, that's blackmail. That's called extortion. And listen, I remember what my English teacher said to me way back then. You got to let that thing go. I remember what happened in my first marriage. You got to let that thing go. You got to burn those books. Somebody does you wrong, forgive them so that you can love somebody else. Talking to somebody here, you haven't forgive your ex. That's why you're so damaged today. Amen. It's time to burn the records. You got a clean slate. Most people have birthmarks that are specific to them. Whether it be a mole or a unique mark on their identification mark upon their body, we all have a birthmark. Designers are known by their trademarks because they have logos. Well, God likewise has established a mark, a very clear mark by which his children who have been birthed by the Spirit ought to be known by. And you know what that mark is? Love. When we fail to display love, we show who we belong to. The question today is, are you struggling with love? Now, I want you to take the picture that you have now and put it up against your life. I want you to personify it. Does it match or is it off? See, for a long time I was self-seeking, had an inflated view of myself. But I thank God that when he saved me, can you imagine all of this was happening in a church? Some of you are not surprised by that. The place where love is supposed to thrive and succeed, that's where love succeeds. That's where love is in the environment of the church that love is exemplified. And today as I close, I want to say this to somebody here today, you know. Maybe you're in the incompatible group. Or maybe you find yourself hidden and missing. Or maybe you want to learn how to love. Because remember what we said, you were nothing without love. Today, if you want to come and you want to say, Pastor, you know what? I want to love. I want to love.